Your almightiness, we acknowledge your supremacy. We declare and enthrone you as the Lord over our lives, over this gathering, this hour. Father, we are not taking for granted your goodness over our lives as your people. Father, we return all the glory, all the honor and adoration to you this morning. Receive all our praises, receive all the worship in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, the hour has come for your word to go out to your people. And so, Father, I ask, O God, that you grant unto us understanding. Open our eyes and heart of understanding in the name of Jesus. Give us insight into your word and let your word transform our lives. We receive the grace to be the doers of the word and not the preacher or the hearer alone. In the name of Jesus, I take charge of this environment. Every spirit that buys and sells, every spirit of distraction, let the fire of the Lord consume them. In the name of Jesus, at the end of this ministration, we'll become a better person. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Shall we clap our hands together for the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to give God the glory for the privilege I have to stand before the church this morning to share the word of God. I also want to thank the leadership of the ministry for granting us, we the younger ones, you know, the opportunity to minister. Amen. God has laid it on my heart this morning to share with us in exhortation the message I titled, The Passcodes to His Presence. The Passcodes to His Presence. And I'm going to dwell a little on, I will take time for the introduction to lay the foundation for this exhortation. When we talk about passcode is like a means of accessing, something or somewhere. Almost everybody here uses the internet. If you don't have a password, you cannot access the net. If you don't have a password, you cannot even, the ATM will not respond if you put your card and you don't impute the PIN. That's a password. So briefly, the passcode is a means of gaining access or entry into something or somewhere, especially in this age where we have technological advancement and development, that anywhere you go, you want to enter somewhere, the door may not open if it is automated. It may be fingerprint that it requires. It may be a card that you swap that it requires for you to gain access into such a building. And similarly, there are spiritual codes to assess the presence of God. We are only lucky that we live in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it was not all that easy for them to access the presence of God. In the Old Testament, for instance, if they want to access the presence of God, it will be done by a priest. That priest will be the one to enter into the presence of God on behalf of the people, maybe to make atonement for their sins. And he himself must have atoned for his own sins. Otherwise, he goes in, he may not come out. We are going to be seeing all those passcodes. Hallelujah. Somebody is sleeping. Hallelujah. Yeah. And when we talk about the presence of God is a place of the manifestation of God. The presence of God is a place of manifestation of God. So the presence of God is not limited to the church where we are. Even though the church is dedicated, it's a place of worship where we gather, we worship. There are other churches where people are gathering now. They are worshiping all over the world. But it's not limited to the church of God. The presence of God is with you anywhere you go. As long as you are a child of God, I mean a genuine child of God that God knows, and you know your God. Hallelujah. So we are carriers of God's presence. Whether in school, in the lecture room, at home, in the kitchen, you are in the car, you are traveling, anywhere you go, you are supposed to command the presence of God. You are supposed to have the presence of God with you anywhere you go. But then we have codes by which we access or we enter into God's presence. For instance, if you want to go before the king of this world, say you want to go before His Imperial Majesty Oni of Ile Ife, you don't just appear before him casually. In fact, let me say that it will be pretty difficult for you to enter into the palace if you don't have an appointment with him. You don't have somebody that will lead you there. I remember during my childhood days, we used to have different levels of, that was how I was brought up anyway. I don't know of the present. That if you want to, we have clothes that we wear to play. Asho Eyile, that's what we call it in Yoruba. Then we have one that we wear to church every Sunday, midweek. We have one that if we want to go out for occasion, but my mother then will say, we'll call it this way, Tobani Ile Olubadan ya. What does that mean? If you want to go to visit the king, you don't just appear before a king casually. You are going to appear decently. You are going to be good looking because of the personality of the person you are going to meet. How much more God? So there are codes which we need to understand to enter into God's presence. Media, let me project the book of Psalm 16, Psalm 16, verse 11. Let me read from here. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Eternal pleasures. There is joy. There is pleasure forevermore. Where? In the presence of God. There is not just joy. There is an adjective there. There is fullness of joy. Not a full, but there is fullness of joy anytime we come to God's presence. A lot of people want pleasure. A lot of people are looking for joy, all over the world. But they don't have an answer because they don't know God. Some will take to alcoholism. They will take to alcohol. They go to joints because of the problem they're having. They want to experience joy. But the joy does not last long because they can beer, alcohol can never give joy. I remember somebody once said that HARP, H-A-R-P, is one of the brands of the beer, cannot give happiness. Gulda cannot give goodness. Zassenbrau, those are the brands of alcohol that they drink, cannot give satisfaction. Only in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Still talking about, entering into the presence of God. I want the media to help me project against Psalm 51, verse 11. I'm going to be talking much about King David, the psalmist, who understood dwelling in the presence of God. King David was talking about, it is a good thing. I am glad when they told me to go into the house of the Lord. But remember, I said that the presence of God is not limited to church. So anywhere you are, that you have the presence of God around with you, then you have joy in your heart, fullness of joy. Then you have pleasures also forevermore. I wish I could have access to this screen instead of turning, to be reading the scriptures on the LED. Let me read from here, Psalm 51, verse 11. It's a popular scripture that we know. It says, do not cast me. It was a prayer of repentance that David prayed, after he had adultery with the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. He wrote this Psalm 51. In verse 11, it says, do not cast me away from your presence. So this was someone who had been enjoying the presence of God until he fell into that sin of adultery. And he wanted to make up with his God. He wanted to reconcile with his God. And that's why he was pleading with God that God should not cast him away from his presence. Because remove God from the life of a man, that man becomes nothing. Somebody who has been a hero, lacking the presence of God, or when God does not reside with that person or does not abide with that person becomes a zero. That will not be your portion. In the name of Jesus, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. What are the quotes, the past quotes? Before I mention that, something just flashed my mind. I remember, maybe a year ago or more, I watched this skit, this Daman, yes. I watched with my daughter, and it was teaching a lesson about not opening the door for a stranger. And I was to go out, not going to stay long, and I asked her to lock the door from inside. Because we watched the video together, she now said, "Daddy, what is your passcode?" I now smiled. That means if a stranger comes now, how do I know? I said, "Don't you know my voice? My voice is my passcode." In relationship, father-child relationship, husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, there should be codes. You should understand the code. When your father is angry with you, I mean your biological father is angry with you, you should know how to approach him. Your husband is angry with you, you should know how, when, and where to settle it. You should know how the passcode. So the same way, there are passcodes to accessing God's presence, to entering the presence of God. Number one passcode I put here is holiness. Holiness. Holiness is a non-negotiable passcode to access God's presence. If you want to enjoy the presence of God, then you got to be holy. And when we're talking about holiness, I mean consecration, purification, dedication of your life, of your body. And the holiness I'm talking about is not outward holiness alone, because some people appear holy on the outward, but within they are not holy. It is a combination of inward holiness and outward holiness, because you cannot give what you don't have. So holiness is a reflection of what you are made of. Holiness is a reflection of your inward being, who you are, you know, in the inwardly is a reflection. In the book of Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4, King David asked a rhetorical question there. He said, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place?" Asking for the requirement, asking for the credentials of that man or woman that we ascend into the hill of God. Of God, the hill of God is a holy hill. It's a holy ground. And you cannot afford to access that hill. You dare not move to that hill casually without being prepared. Moses stayed for 40 days and 40 nights to collect the Ten Commandments. Many people have argued that because Moses was a stammerer, maybe when he came back, you know, from Mount Sinai, and he saw that because the Israelite perceived or thought that he had stayed too long on Mount Sinai, and they needed a God, according to them, to worship. And they donated their jewelries, made golden calf, and they were worshiping. And when Moses came down, he was angry with them. Some people say that maybe because he was a stammerer, and that's why he was angry with them. But I see beyond that. Moses must have considered what took him for 40 days to be in the presence of God, to access the presence of God, to receive the Ten Commandments. And when he was angry with them and he smashed that, you know, the first two tablets, you know, that he was carrying of commandments, before he now went back to God. So many people thought that because he was angry, that's why he did that. But I see beyond that. He must have considered what it has cost him to access the presence of God, to stay in his presence, he was able to get the Ten Commandments. So holiness is non-negotiable to access the presence of God. So if God is holy, anybody that we appear before him must be holy, both inwardly. The heart must be holy. That's why I said holiness from within. The heart of the person must be impeccably holy. And also, of course, on the outside too. How do you appear before your God? Do you have sins? Maybe one hidden sin somewhere, and you are still expecting that you are going to have the attention of God, that you are going to provoke the presence of God with that kind of habit that you have? Holiness. Let me read verse 4 of that Psalm 24, verse 4 now. Verse 3 says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4 has an answer for that. And he said, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's why he said, externally be holy, internally be holy. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. The idol there does not refer to having one image somewhere. Don't tie kole lori. Doesn't have to do with that. Idol means anything that wants to take the place of God in your life. Some people's idol may be phone. And that's why in the church, they want to have God's presence in the church while they're under the service. No matter how hot the prayer is, they still want to be connected with their friend somewhere. Maybe within Nigeria or outside Nigeria. And that's why they still Facebook in the church. They still open the WhatsApp while the sermon is going on. They still chat with their friends. They want to have the presence of God. They also want to be in the presence of their friends. That can be delayed till a later time. May you not miss out of God's presence in the name of Jesus. On the day of your visitation, that God's presence will come into your situation. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, let me get this clean working, please, if it is possible. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 is a very popular place that talks about holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It talks about pursue peace. Another version says follow peace. Yes. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So it's a major requirement for seeing the Lord. The Lord is too holy to behold iniquity. So when we come to the presence of God, whether in the church, in the corner of our room, in our offices, in our school, anywhere we are, holiness is non-negotiable. So it's a major passcode to accessing the presence of God, to enter into the presence of God. Number two, passcode two, is faith. Faith. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 has defined faith as a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we have so many patriarchs and matriarchs in the Bible who wrought miracles, signs and wonders, who did the extraordinary through the agency of faith. Faith is a connecting rod through which we access the presence of God. There is no way. Let me say something, because when I was growing up, I remember, I also see it around in Ile-Ife. There are places in Ibadan where I grew up, where they are going to have Ojubo, like shrine. They have stone. They put palm oil. They have somewhere where they have symbolism of the one they call God of Iron, the one they call Ogun, where they are going to have cutlasses, those metallic objects, and they are going to be killing dogs, innocent dogs. They are going to be killing dogs, you know, on the shrine. More or less, maybe they have faith in that God that they worship. And that's God that cannot speak. That's God that does not have mouth to speak, does not have ear to listen to them. But they believe that when they go to him and they take the object of worship to him, it listens. I didn't use the word E. It listens to them. Because how can I use E for stone, E for iron? So the book of Romans, I want to read the book of Romans chapter 5. Okay, Romans chapter 5. Thank you, media. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans 5, 2. Okay, 5, 2. By whom also we have access. That womb refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you read verse 1, the preceding verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. The grace of being called the children of God. The grace of salvation wherein we stand and rejoice in the in the hope of the glory of God. So faith is a connecting rod, is a connecting rod by which we can access the presence of God. In the book of Acts chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible talks about Stephen, one of the seven deacons, you know, in the early church, that was full of faith and power. And he did great wonders and signs among the people of his time. Why was he able to do great wonders? Because he was a man full of faith and power. So when you come to God's presence in the church or anywhere you are, do you pray because somebody is leading the prayers? If you're in the church or anywhere, somebody is leading the prayer. Do you pray because somebody asks you to pray? Do you pray with a reason? Do you pray with a purpose? Do you have anything inside? Do you have any expectation when you pray? All these questions, you know, underline the factor of faith. Because anybody that we appear before God and we pray to God, we pray to Him in faith and by faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Passcode number 3 is the passcode of prayer. Prayer. Media me project the book of Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21. When they wanted to make a decision, they wanted to take a decision, Ezra, chapter 8, verse 21. Ezra 8, 21. Okay, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of Him a right way, and for our little ones and for all our substances. Let me read my own version here. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. They sought the face of God in the place of prayer. And the Lord, acting unto them. Let me read verse 22 and 23. Verse 22. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek Him. Meaning that all those who seek Him, the hand of the Lord is upon them for good. But His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. Verse 23, where I'm going to stop, says, for we fasted and entreated our God for this. For what? For the matter of taking decision. They didn't know whether to go to the right or to the left. But so they saw the face of God in prayer, and He answered our prayer. So prayer is a very important code to access the supernatural, to invoke or to provoke the presence of God into your situation. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible talks about where, yes, Peter, after James, the brother of John, was killed by that wicked king, Herod, this verse, he wanted to stretch his hand, in fact, at Peter. And he caught Peter in prison. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We don't want to go into that story. We know the story of the miraculous deliverance. Even the apostles that prayed as a church had forgotten. They didn't believe when that little girl called Rhoda came to tell them that it was Peter that is at the door knocking. They were praying. Maybe they thought it was too fast for God to do. What can prayer not do? So we access God's presence in the place of prayer. But it's unfortunate that when we come to church, because I don't know if you do that in church, how much more when you want to pray alone at home, you want to pray alone. When they are praying in the church and you are playing, you are not praying. Somebody is leading the prayer, sweating, jumping up and down. He said, are you telling me that you don't have anything to pray about? You can command God's presence in the place of prayer. So it was prayer that set Peter free. We know the case of Paul and Silas as well. It was, you know, the door here the gate of the prison were opening. He thought it was, Peter even thought it was, you know, dreaming. He didn't believe until the angel disappeared. If you read further in that Acts chapter 12, read further. The gates were opening to him on their own accord. Until they got to the third gate and the angel disappeared. And said, Itamu mawa. So pray. Pray to God. You know, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. When you pray to God, then you have the response. I have number four here, passcode number four, as the passcode of obedience. Obedience. God does not take half obedience. When God gives instruction, whether from the scriptures, when you read the scriptures, you have instruction. That one is direct. When you now have the servant of God led by God to give instruction, what is your response or your reaction to instruction that is given? Do you follow the word of God to the letter, or you have certain ones that you obey? Why you have certain ones that you don't obey? God will not take half obedience. It's either you obey in its entirety or you don't obey at all. You break one out of the Ten Commandments, then you are a breaker of the commandment of God. In the book of 1 Samuel, we know the story of how disobedient Paul was when he was asked to go and fight the Amalekites. The instruction God gave him, he violated. And when he was caught through Prophet Samuel, that God revealed to him, and he went to him, he said, what is the sound, the bleating of the sheep I'm hearing at the backyard? Oh, is that that one? I just decided to get those ones, you know, to make sacrifice. Let's get to read what the response of Samuel. He said, to Achim is better than sacrifice. Can you help me project the book of 1 Samuel? 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Okay, thank you. So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Obedience, you know, in the Old Testament, they did a lot of sacrifices, which a priest is going to do on behalf of the person who has committed, the offender, you know, who has committed whatever sin. But here, in the Old Testament, Prophet Samuel was saying that obedience is even far better than making sacrifice. Do you know why? If you had obeyed in the first instance, then you don't need to make sacrifice. You don't need to make, you know, appeasement for your sin because you have obeyed. Hallelujah. I hope somebody's getting what I'm saying. So obedience is very germane, it's very key, and it's non-negotiable. And you obey the voice of God. When you read the scriptures, the instructions are there expressly. You have instructions from the pulpit expressly. So how obedient are you? If you don't obey God, you cannot command the presence of God into your situation. Number five I have there is passcode of humility. Humility. Before we read the scriptures I have here, Moses was a man who was meek. And that's why he was able to walk with God. He was so meek, so gentle. He was the meekest man on earth. Can I have the book of 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Okay, thank you. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Now, listen. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Some people are so proud that if it is possible for God to descend from heaven, they are going to be having a handshake with God. When they come to church, they are so, because they have not come, with what purpose have they come to church? Maybe to show off the latest clothes, latest jewelry, latest handbag, latest shoe. Let me talk about the guys. Latest haircut, latest jean, whatever they are wearing. That's what they have come to showcase. The purpose of their coming to the presence of God is defined by what they have come to show off to the people to see, or the latest car that the person has brought. But the Bible says we should be clothed with humility. So anybody that will access the presence of God must put on the garment of humility. Otherwise, the Bible says God resists the proud. So many prayers are not answered. They go from one mountain to the other because they are proud in their heart. And remember, this is one of, is it the book of 1 John now? Talking about the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and the pride of life. And remember, the fall of Lucifer. This was what caused the fall of Lucifer in the first instance. So God resists himself. So if God should resist somebody, who is going to deliver that person? The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So when you are proud, I'm not sorry. The Bible has said it. God is going to resist you. Put on the garment of humility. Be humble in all you do if you want to access God's presence. Also give me Philippians chapter 2, and that's our pattern. That's the person who has laid the foundation for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5-8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yes. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, that's God the Son, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Next verse, 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, where we are stopping. Verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ left his glory in heaven with his Father. That's what he agreed. It was a bargain. Because when God was asking in the book of Isaiah, who will go for us? Who will I send? Isaiah responded. Jesus responded, you know, to the call of saving the humanity, redeeming the humanity from the impending loom and danger of destruction. He responded to that. So he did not consider himself robbery to be equal with God. He did not think, you are God the Father, I am God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. We walk together. Why will you ask me to go? He yielded in obedience and in humility. So that's our pattern. So if Jesus Christ could humble himself to the point of obedience to death, even the death of the cross, how much more you? How much more me? God will help us in Jesus' name. Now the last one I have here, I'm going to dwell on. Today is our Thanksgiving Sunday. It's a passcode of thanksgiving. The passcode of thanksgiving. That's why I'm going to be stopping today before we pray, because our time is far spent already. Psalm 95, verse 2. Psalm 95, verse 2. Psalm 95 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. When we appear before God, we should appear with heart of gratitude. We should cultivate the attitude of entering to God's presence with thanksgiving. A lot of us ask so many things from God. We don't take time to appreciate him for what he has done and for what he is doing that is not yet evident to you, and for what he's capable of doing. Some people will check, huh? January 1 till today is 30th of October. What has God done? What have I achieved? Asu, they locked us for 8 months. Let me tell you something. God has done a lot in your life. I was traveling from Ibadan Friday. That was a great love. We stayed in the great love for like 4 hours, 40 minutes. Passing through that place, I even called my wife. I said, we've left the Red Sea now. That was what I called. I said, we are now at another River Jordan. You know, it's smaller compared to Red Sea. I never knew that it was accident that happened at that spot. See, life left body. Somebody was wringing in pain. My heart was pumping. Ha! It just happened. People were helpless. People died. So, if you don't have anything to thank God for today, you should thank God for gift of life. Some people desire to be here. They are alive, but their legs are hanged. We are not better than they are. So, cultivate the attitude of thanksgiving in the place of praise, in the place of worship, in the place of saying, God, I thank you. Thanksgiving prayers, not only asking. Mwah, 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 mwah. We don't do bah, bah. We don't give to God. We ask Him to give, but we don't return to Him in the attitude of thanksgiving. When you praise God, I tell people that the word praise, P in front of praise is power. So when you praise God, then you are raised up. The remaining is raised. You are raised up. When you praise God, you are raised up. When we worship God, we access God's presence, because worship works wonders. That's where they got WWW for, maybe. Worship works wonders. So let's cultivate the attitude of thanksgiving unto God. Psalm 100 verse 4. As I'm trying to bring this exhortation to a close, and we're going to pray Psalm 100 verse 4. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. So there's a challenge unto us this morning that we need to thank God for who he is. Bless his name. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's not limited to the church. Anywhere we are, you want to pray to God, start with thanksgiving. I remember, again, I'm sorry, I'm reminiscing this morning. During my growing up days in Ibadan, we have praise singers. They will come. I don't know, maybe they still do it now. Praise singers will come. The praise singer will be the one to wake up the rich of, you know, in their own time. That time, you'll be singing the praises of the rich man. And the rich man, maybe it will be that song that will wake him up from his sleep. He will wake up and come out and be dishing out whatever he has. Somebody said that a rich man even removed the garment he was wearing. When his head was swollen up, he could not contain it. And he was afraid that his head could burst. And he removed the garment and gave to the praise singer. So when you enter into the presence of God with the attitude of thanksgiving, God is poised to do more for you. He's poised to do more for you. So this morning I challenge you as an individual, I challenge us as a church to cultivate the attitude of gratitude. Let us cultivate the habit of thanking God for what he has done. If you don't have anything to thank God for, like I said earlier on, thank him for the gift of life. Thank him for sound health. It's not everybody that went home during the 8-month break due to ASUU strike that returned to school. It's not everybody. Not that they decided to go to a private university or they traveled out of the country, but they are no more. Are you better than they were? So God is going to help us in Jesus' name. I would like us to rise on our feet as I'm closing this exhortation. The past course to God's presence is the exclusive right of God's children. Anyone who is not identified with God cannot access his presence, because God does not know him. God does not know her. Like I said, my daughter was asking, what's the passcode I should tell if it's to know whether it's you or not? Jesus Christ said, I'm a good shepherd. My sheep know me, and I know my sheep. And a good shepherd will know the voice of his sheep. So when they bleat, he knows of all thousands of sheep bleating. A good shepherd will know this one is my sheep because of the relationship, because of the interaction. I challenge you this morning, if you are yet to be known of God, this is an opportunity for you to know God. This is an opportunity for you to connect with that God. You cannot have passcode of faith if you don't know the God. So how will you believe in the God that you don't know? You cannot obey him if you don't know him. So you need to yield your heart to God. If you are falling, you need to rededicate your life this morning so that you can command, invoke the presence of God. You can be a carrier of God's presence anywhere you go. In that book of Psalm 51 that we read verse 11 of it, I told you it's a psalm of repentance that David wrote after he committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. You know, we sing it in church. We sing it, you know, in the gathering of Christians. Let's read it. By the time we go there, I remember. Psalm 51, verse 11. Cast me not. Yes. Cast me not. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma. From your presence, O Lord, and take not Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And renew right spirit within me. Can we take it once again, please? Cast me not away. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew right spirit within me. I want us to turn it into prayer. That Father, this morning I come to you. Do not cast me away. Lord, do not push me aside. I yield my heart unto you in submission. Today, I yield my heart in obedience to your word. I yield my heart in humility unto you. I yield my heart unto you. Do not cast me away, O Lord. Do not cast me away from your presence, O Lord. Let your mercy speak for me. Somebody is not praying. The matter of God's presence is what everybody needs. If you are a carrier of God's presence, anywhere you go, then you are secured. You will not be afraid of kidnappers or the Fulanis. You will not be afraid of the bandits. You will not be afraid anywhere you go. Cast me not away, O Lord. Lord, do not push me aside. In the name of Jesus, do not cast me away from your presence, O Lord, by your mercy. In the name of Jesus, I want us to pray this prayer point that, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to dwell perpetually in your presence. Help me, Lord, help my infirmities, help my weakness, O Lord, to dwell perpetually in your presence. Lord, do not cast me away. Lord, help me to dwell perpetually in your presence. In the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to command your presence anywhere I go. Make me a carrier of your presence. Make me a carrier of your presence.
Bible says, in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. I want to speak to you this morning. Draw me closer to you so that I can have all the benefits of your presence. I have the fullness of joy. I have the fullness of joy. I have access to my destiny. I have key to my tomorrow in the presence of the Lord. Can you speak to God this morning? Draw me to your side that I might take from your pleasure, that I might have my treasure. In the presence of God, there is treasure. In the presence of God, there is treasure. In the presence of God, there is victory. In the presence of God, there is joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is fulfillment. Can you speak to God this morning? I want to be closer to you. When a child is closer to the father, he gets all the benefit from the father. When a child is closer to the mother, he gets all the benefit from the mother. But when you are far away, you will miss out on a lot of stuff. Say, God, I don't want to miss out on anything. Oh, Lord, my God, draw me closer and let me get the best from you. Maska, palimaska, imbre, telima, maska. Dakoska, paska, imbre, se, popo. Randa, kuban, sapaila, gas, sapalaba. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we pray unto you this morning. Is there any area where we are far away? Have we moved further away from you? Have we gone on our own way? Have we been doing our own things? This morning, we cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus. As this month is coming to an end, and as we are about to enter into a new month, let it be a period of walking closer with you. Let it be a time of deeper intimacy. And let it be a time of drawing treasures from your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, everyone and any one of us that must have lost our access to you, that we must have lost our passcode, our key, Lord, we ask that you redeem our time. You redeem our lives. And Lord God, you bring us back unto you. And may we walk with you with a renewed commitment, with a new determination and dedication, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for your son that you have used for us today. Lord, we ask that you visit him afresh and anew, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, bless your name. In Jesus' name, we are prayed.